Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, it's a good thing the Holy Gospel for today wasn't read last week, Father's Day. To hear on Father's Day that Jesus had come to set a man against his father, how awkward would that have been? But of course, it's still awkward. Quite awkward, no matter when we hear it. Jesus, the home wrecker. Well, today's gospel is the last of three where Jesus is instructing his disciples before sending them out. And as you may remember from the last 2 weeks, it started out really good. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. He told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. That's cool. Or maybe I should say today, that's fire. But then it was all downhill from there. Things go from bad to worse. They're going to face rejection. They're going out as sheep in the midst of wolves. They will be handed over to the authorities. They are going to be hated and called demons. And then this that we hear today. So maybe they're having second thoughts. Couldn't blame them. And that happens to Christians today too. Maybe even you. Second thoughts. When you hear God's word and what it says. I mean, Christmas and baby Jesus is cool. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, silent night, candles, joy to the world, like that. And Easter, the flowers and hallelujahs, good stuff. Love and joy and peace, and who doesn't want that? But stick around, and then you begin to hear more. Things like your enemies, love them. Those who persecute you and make your life bitter, pray for them. Turn the other cheek. Lay down your life for others. Forgive without limit. Don't repay evil for evil, but repay evil with good. Be sexually pure. Honor the authorities, no matter who they are. And then things like we heard today. That as a Christian, you may have to give up some things. Change some things about your life, not to win God's favor. You already have that. But because they're not good for you. Even if you think they are. So some, I think about this Christian thing, this Jesus thing. I didn't know it was going to be so hard. But this is how it has been. The pattern of things from the beginning. When because of the sin of Adam and Eve, things plummeted from great to worse. From perfection to death. And hell on earth. So what kept them going? All the saints of old living in such a world, from Noah to Abraham to Moses to David, the prophets, what kept them going in the midst of the opposition and pain and struggle? The opposition, pain, and struggle that you too face. Well, really, only one thing, the promise of a Savior who would raise them and this world to life and love, peace and joy again. And so the book of Hebrews says that all these saints of old, you know, they could have gone back. They could have just thrown up their hands and given up, like maybe some are tempted to today. But instead, they looked forward. They looked forward to what is coming, to the greater, the more glorious, the restoration. So going back, giving up, really wasn't an option. There wasn't any guarantee that would be easier or better anyway. The good old days usually aren't as good as we remember or imagine. Now that brings us back to the words Jesus spoke to his disciples today. These tough words that we heard today, what are we to make of them? Well, the thing to know about these words to help us understand them is that Jesus wasn't the first to say them. They were first said by the prophet Micah, describing the evil and wickedness of the world. This was their reality. This was happening in Israel. They were turning against one another, even families. They weren't living as God's people. And they had false prophets speaking among them. One we heard of today in the Old Testament reading named Hananiah. He was saying in the midst of all the wickedness and evil of the world, don't worry, be happy. You're okay. All is well. Even though they had been conquered by the Babylonians and many of them taken to there from Israel, don't worry. It won't last long, Hananiah said. God's going to bring you back, and soon. We are his people, after all. But that wasn't true, the prophet Jeremiah said. I wish it were, he said. We're his people, yes. But God was disciplining his people. And it was going to last the full 70 years, as God said. So you had these two prophets and more saying different things, which is not unlike today, where you have lots of people saying lots of different things about God, about life, about truth, sometimes making it hard to know what to believe. So since Micah first said these words, what did Micah say about that, living in this situation? Well, he said this in the very next verse. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now, that's exactly what the saints of old did. Looking forward, not back, looking to the Lord and no other, and waiting for his salvation, not taking matters into their own hands. No matter how great the evil or how bad the wickedness in them and in the world, they looked to the Lord for forgiveness and waited for the Lord to come and fulfill his promises. For he always does. So by Jesus then taking up these words of the prophet Micah and quoting these shocking words, by doing so, he wants you to think about four things. First, the condition of the world. How steeped in sin and rebellion and division it is, as it was in Micah's day. And that you will face opposition and division and struggle just as they did. Second, to think about the condition of your heart and the sin that has maybe snuck its way in and that maybe you are a little too comfortable with, like the people in Micah's day. Third, he wants you to know that he is proclaiming with these words that he is the one Micah and the saints of old looked forward to. The promised one, the promised Messiah who is going to set this right. And then fourth, he wants you to do the same. To look forward. to look forward to him and his salvation. His salvation coming not only on the last day, but already here, already now. His salvation in his word and sacraments. Because Jesus doesn't hate families. There is a commandment, in fact, about honoring your father and mother. Remember that? And its importance is shown by its being the first commandment of the second table of the law about loving your neighbor. That placement is important and reflects the importance of the commandment. And Jesus isn't contradicting that word of God. But important also are the commandments that come before it regarding God and the first table of the law. And we can never pit those two things against each other. But living in a world steeped with sin, sin without, sin within, sin all around, what if there comes a time when honoring God and honoring my Father go against one another and I can't do both? What then? Which do I do? And what of other situations, impossible situations, when it seems like the choices that I have are both wrong? No matter which one I do, I'm sinning. And you begin to realize, I'm the one Jesus was talking about. I am not worthy. And I can't be. And if it were up to me, I never would be. Hard as I might try. Full stop. Because these situations come up. I have crosses I don't carry. I won't carry. I have divided loves. I do try to save my life. What I have. What I've done. The world may be a mess, but so am I. It's good to know that. It's hard, but good. Not so that we'll throw up our hands and give up and stop trying, but that we'll look for help in the right place. Not within ourselves and what we can do, but like Micah, looking forward and looking to Jesus. The only one who ever was and is worthy, and who came to make you worthy. Because the truth is that Jesus didn't come to wreck families. He came to wreck you. He came to you who are wrecked with sin, divided loves, and doubts to finish you off, to kill you, so that he could raise you to a new life. The sword of his word slaying you in repentance, so that his healing word of absolution raise you again in forgiveness to a new life. That you find your hope in him and turn to him alone. But to do that, to save you like that, Jesus had to be slain himself. He had to take your place under the sword of God's wrath. Take your sin, take your guilt, take your shame, take your divided loves, take your doubts, take your unworthiness, take it all from you and lose his life to give you life. That in his resurrection, you then rise too. That joined to him in baptism and made his child, you find your life not in the things of this world or the people of this world, but in him. And that knowing the depth and enormity of your sin, you also know the greatness and glory of your Savior and the new life that he's given you. And then, baby steps. Receiving a prophet to listen to him speak God's word. a cup of cold water to a little one. And a reward for that? Yeah. And maybe a Father's Day example. I know, a week late. When children are little, they give gifts that are small, usually homemade, but precious. When they get bigger, the gifts might get bigger and more expensive. But isn't it those little gifts that are remembered and kept? The drawing, the handprint in the plaster, the homemade card. What we do is like that. When you do something little and rudimentary, when done in love, when done as a child of your Heavenly Father, that's precious to your Father in heaven. That's what makes you and what you do worthy. Not that what you do is perfect or even close to it, but that you're his dearly loved child, adopted into his family in baptism, washed clean in the blood of the Son, and with a seat at his table. And when you're not here, he misses you. When you rebel, he grieves. And when you repent, he rejoices. And he lavishes his love and forgiveness on you. And when you do those little rudimentary, imperfect things, trying to be like him, he loves it. So Jesus is no home wrecker. In fact, he is a home builder. It is the sin in our world that has wrecked our homes and lives and disordered our loves. It is only his forgiveness and life and love that can restore them. And his forgiveness and life and love that also gives us a new home and a new family. A family of faith and a heavenly home. Now, if you want to save your life in this messed up, disordered, wicked world, you can do that. You can. But why? You have another life. One without the sin and death and evil, and one that will last forever. You think maybe that's the one worth saving? So love those God has given you to love, as Jesus did his earthly family. Even more, love him who gave them to you. And gave himself for you. And then in him you'll find not one pitted against the other, but all your loves ordered rightly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.